And I speak in the name of the one true living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, as we begin one journey through Advent and on to Christmas, we, in another respect, are ending another journey. We're coming to the end of 3 months journeying through the last and arguably one of the most difficult books of the Bible, the book of Revelation, written by St. John the Divine, written as a gift of God to believers then and now. A transparent gift that God gives to show that he has a plan, to show that he is still sovereign, to show that he has not abandoned or forgotten the world. And God's ultimate plan reveals that one day heaven and earth will come victoriously united, that God still is in control. But if I went back those 3 months, I began with a statement, if you remember, and it was this: we live in a broken and a hurting world. And I think most people, if I remember right, if not all, agreed. You look at our world today and you see that it is absolutely broken and hurting in so many ways. And then I asked a number of questions. Why is our world broken and hurting? Why is there suffering and pain in our world? What's gone wrong with our world? Surely this is not the way that God meant it to be. And over the course of these 3 months, we have been able, I hope, in part at least, to answer some of those questions in a very human way, but I hope in an insightful way too. Our world is hurting and broken because of sin in the world, because of our rebellion against God, not living as God would have us to live. So, for example, the marks of God's kingdom are marks of love and respect, tolerance, sharing, peace, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and so on. But in the world, we look at the result of sin: war, greed, injustice, selfishness, power, hate, murder. So sin plays its part in our world being broken and hurting. We also, as we journeyed through Revelation, been reminded that there is a very real presence of evil in our world as well. The mark of Satan, who has been cast out from heaven and who for now is seeking to build his kingdom on earth, a kingdom that is contrary to God's kingdom, is seeking to undermine God, is seeking to bring people away from God. And we've seen again and again, especially over the second part of Revelation, how Satan brings darkness, suffering, and hurt into the world. How Satan, the devil, is able to manipulate and to deceive for his own end. So sin and evil play their part in a broken and hurting world. Then there is that third area. And for me, it's an area of mystery. I don't have an easy or a glib answer, and I don't think Revelation in many respects gives us an easy answer. So it's a place that we remain, unfortunately, discontented until we hear Jesus return again. But that's the area of why there is much illness in our world, why there is random suffering in our world, why there is much that we can't put down to evil or sin. Why do bad things happen to good people? I struggle with that. We all struggle with that. But Revelation again has reminded us that we are called in the midst of the joyful and sorrowful moments of life to show patient endurance. In the midst of a broken and a hurting world, to remain trusting and faithful to God's promises. In those moments of hurt in our lives or in our world, I guess there is always two ways that we can go. We can allow that hurt and pain, which is very real, to bring us away from God. Or we can allow that hurt and pain to bring us nearer to God and to keep trusting in his hope and his promises. And as we remain in that hurting and broken world, we, the people of God, are called to live out the Great Commission. That is to continue to be bearers of light and the gospel message, whatever way we can, to bring healing and hope into the world around us. We're called to bring and build God's kingdom with his values in whatever way we can, until he returns again. The reason why I look around is I always forget what's behind the various communion tables in the four churches. Sometimes you get these words, "This do in remembrance of me," or "until he comes." Again, they are the same thing, that we retell the gospel story through words, deeds and actions in remembrance of what Jesus has done in his first coming, but with hope that he will return again. So we continue to be bearers of the light until Jesus returns, until the final victory is won, until the Lamb and the Bride finally are united. That is Jesus and his church, believers, until heaven and earth become one God around his throne of grace. We've covered a lot of mileage over these 3 months and through the first 19 chapters of Revelation. But today, Advent Sunday, we come to the last part of the book of Revelation, the last part indeed of the Bible. Now, I'd like to claim that it was my forward planning that had this sermon and this passage for this day. But I have to admit, I'm not that organized to plan 12 sermons ahead on a particular Sunday. So I'll call it a God incident, because actually Advent Sunday, in many respects, is the perfect day to finish a sermon on the book of Revelation. For as I've said already, in Advent Sunday and through Advent, it's not only a time where we look back with thankfulness on the gift of Jesus in the baby in Bethlehem and the gift of the cross, but it's also a time when we look forward. So the people of God, the Christian faith, is not only a backward-looking faith, but it is a forward-looking faith, looking until that day with hope that Jesus returns again. And that's where this last sermon, for a few moments, is going to bring us today. So as always, if you have the weekly sheet of the Pew Bible, can I encourage you to have that in front of you now so that you can read yourself what is contained in the passage. Just one little aside before we get to our passage, and it's something that's important to note. We say it in our creeds, and again, Revelation 20 affirms this, that during this transition from the old to the new, during this, at the end of this time of tribulation, when Jesus returns, we are told that he will judge the living and the dead. It's been one of those constant themes through Revelation as well, that God will judge, that God will judge all of humankind. And this is underlined at the end of Revelation 20, where it says that God will judge. Jesus, when he returns, will judge the living and the dead, part of our creedal statement. But as sobering as this might sound, that judgment awaits us all, there is a little brightness, and it says this in Revelation 20, verse 14, that those whose name is in the book of life, in other words, those who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then there will be nothing to fear in that moment. For those who have trusted, patiently endured, there is nothing to fear in that moment. And then we pick up Revelation 21. All of this completes John's vision, and it's entitled A New Heaven and a New Earth. And for me, as we come to this passage, it's one of the most comforting passages in Scripture. And there are many, dozens of comforting passages. But it helps give me hope amidst the suffering and brokenness of our lives. This passage gives me hope for something better one day. For something better. And I have, over these 17 years in ministry, ministered in many, many sad and difficult situations. And I, as I say, like us all, ask those questions why. But the one thing that has sustained, and I hope gives us hope today, is that promise of something better one day. The passage actually could be entitled The Way It Was Meant to Be, for its words reveal that God restores the world back to original. If we were to go back to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we would read that God creates a perfect world, that he has a perfect relationship with those he creates. He's a very personable God. He dwells among those that he creates. And then we come across the sin and the evil that breaks that relationship in the world. But as we come to the end of Revelation, we are told that God will restore that relationship. The old will disappear and something new will be created or recreated in its place. Perfect, fresh, a close relationship between God and his creation restored, this time never to be broken. And again, I don't want to over-explain the words as they speak simply but powerfully from themselves. So if you're following along, follow along from verse 2. It picks up again on the wedding image, that sense of two individuals being united for all of time. And at the end of verse 2, we read about this restored relationship. Now God's home is with people. He will live with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and he will be their God. God no longer absent, as people may say. God no longer invisible, but God dwelling among us and we with him in a very natural way. God among us. And then the passage gives us a glimpse of what this new heaven and this new earth will be like. Again, read along with me in verse 4 quietly if you have it in front of you. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief, or crying, or pain. The old things have disappeared. Notice the tenderness of God, the hurt and the brokenness that we bring before him. In that newness, he will wipe and heal it all. And what will this new world be like? No more death, no more grief, no more crying, no more pain. Verse 5, I make all things new. As we look at our world today, it's hard to imagine our world being anything but broken and hurting, isn't it? But these are the promises from the very lips of God. Indeed, what does it say at the end of verse 5? It says, write this, because these words are true and can be trusted. They are true and can be trusted. There's not much in our world that we might say today that is true or can be trusted. But as I stand here this morning, it is with deep conviction and hope that I believe what they say, what they reveal, and what they promise are words that can be trusted and are true. In the light moments of life and in the dark, hopeless moments of life, when we wonder and question, I believe we can turn to passages like Revelation 21, like many other places in Scripture, and we can trust the truth in what they reveal about God. Write these words, for they are true and can be trusted. And as we wait, two things to finish with on this Advent Sunday. Until Jesus returns, as we continue to live in a broken and a hurting world, as we show patient endurance, we must continually refresh ourselves, strengthen ourselves, fill ourselves with hope from God's truth and power. That's why it's so important that we feed regularly on the Word of God. Notice what God says in verse 6 of Revelation 21. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the right to drink from the spring of the water of life without paying for it. God's sustenance in those light and in those dark moments, when we've reached the end of our tether, as they say, the end of our wits, when we are in a hopeless place, it reminds us that we can reach out to God, that we can be sustained by God, that we can be strengthened by God, as the hymn says, through all the changing scenes of life. And secondly, as we continue to be God's people, we quite rightly must pray for our communities, for our nation, for our world that is broken and hurting. We must pray God's hope into the lives of those around us and into our own, which we do each week, and I'm sure many do each day. And as we pray, there is a very relevant prayer that we can pray. And it comes right at the very end of Revelation 22, almost the last verse in the Bible. And it says this, "Yes, I am coming soon." And then John writes, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." The original word is Maranatha. Come Lord Jesus. It's a valid prayer for all of us to pray in this broken and hurting world, that the second return of Jesus would come soon. That we pray, come Lord Jesus, that your promise of a new heaven and a new earth would be ushered in quickly so that we can live in a perfect world again. And it finishes with these words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people." The book of Revelation is a difficult book. It's a real book. It's an honest book. It's a transparent book. It's a challenging book. It's a comforting book. It's a confronting book. It's a scary book. But it's a book that I believe is filled with hope for believers. And it's a book that I believe is filled with hope for a broken and a hurting world, of God's presence with us now, of God's return, and something new and better in time to come. Shall we pray together? And I just simply pray the collect for Advent Sunday, which is on our weekly sheet. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the light and armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day when he shall come again, in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.